You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
I'm Kerry McGeever, and I'm an assistant editor, Radio Wales, and I look after commissioning.
I'm Julia McKenzie. I'm executive editor for Radio Comedy, so we're the in-house department that makes comedy for Radio 4.
Thank you very much for a very interesting keynote talk there. One of the questions that was actually raised a little bit earlier was about podcasting. How can students move from podcasting to actual work with production companies?
Well, I suppose it's just get it really good, you know, at podcast level. And then when you think this is ready, I'm ready to target someone to send this to, you could send it to myself and ask me to have a listen, or probably Kerry would say the same, and we'd have a listen for ourselves and then think, is there a radio show in this? And then, you know, we can have a catch up and discuss, you know, whether it would make that transfer. So, you know, just any way that you can make content like that and start to, you know, find the voice of it, realise the world, if it's sketches or a sitcom, that's great if you're already doing that. And then you've got a nice example to show someone and see if it's got potential to be developed further.
So do you think that works potentially stronger than sending in a script? Because one of the themes which came up earlier again was that potentially when you've got a script in front of you, you can't quite imagine how the lines are going to be delivered.
Yeah, ideally when you're reading a script, you would be able to see that through the strength of the writing. But there are sometimes some particular character pieces where the writer might have in mind a particular character that they've created who has a particular sort of delivery, or, you know, something like Count Arthur Strong, for instance, or some of the work that Matt Berry does, you know, very distinctive comic performances that might not suggest themselves on the script. So in that instance, it's definitely a good idea to send in an audio sample if you feel that it's just not going to translate, you know. But it would be helpful if you had perhaps workshopped it with sort of 12 people in a room above a pub or something like that, you know, before you get to that stage of sending something off.
I tend to agree. I think being able to hear something, because we work in radio, that's the medium we work in, so it's always useful. And I've been sent, when people send scripts, quite often they send accompanying CDs, just to give an example, and it doesn't really matter on the quality, the sound quality. It's really just to give you a sense of the voice or the pace or the characterisation. But coming back to podcasts, I think, you know, if you podcast and you podcast regularly, you build a reputation, a voice, your own world and so on, and that can be incredibly powerful. I mean, that is a calling card. So I would suggest that, you know, if that's something that you're interested in, you're doing, you should be trying to get radio people to hear it. I do think the whole world of podcasting is fascinating, and I think we will be looking at radio being delivered in lots of different forms in the future, or lots of different platforms, and obviously that will be one of them. So, you know, I think anything audio is good for people who work in radio.
Speaking of radio comedy content in particular, being delivered in new and other forms, there's been a real trend particularly towards some radio comedies that have made the move towards television. Are there any TV programmes that you've ever thought, gosh, I want that for radio?
Oh, blimey, that's a tough question. It needs a bit of thinking about, really.
When you write for radio, you write specifically for the ear, so you don't have any visuals or reliance, whereas TV, obviously, especially in comedy, has a lot of visual references, doesn't it? It's usually formats, I think, that have moved to TV. The Room 101, what's the other one?
Chain Reaction. Oh, no, Chain Reaction hasn't... Never Seen Star Wars
Never
was
Seen
a
Star
format.
Yeah.
They've tried Just a Minute as well. You know, and we've had things like Little Britain, League of Gentlemen.
Which are sketch shows, aren't they?
Yeah, sort of League of Gentlemen was sort of sitcom-y.
You know, Family Guy. I'd love that on the radio. But that, you see, I think, is made palatable by the fact that it's a cartoon. Mm. You know, if you took the cartoon away and it was just the raw audio, that might be one, you know, that does go too far on lots of fronts. The fact that it's being said by a kind of, you know, made-up figure.
Yeah, it can be difficult to get over irony on radio sometimes, can't it? If you've got quite challenging content like Family Guy has, I think if you don't see the physical characterisation, I mean, you never see the twinkle in the eye, do you, on radio? So you have to be mindful of that, the stuff that could be just plain offensive to a listener because they don't get what is parodying or referencing.
Certain radio comedies are done, well, recorded in a studio and then produced for broadcast, whereas others are recorded in front of an audience. What are the key factors for you in deciding whether something should be done in front of an audience or not?
Well, it's got to be very funny if it's done in front of the audience. So, you know, on a sort of maths level, you're looking for about, you know, 3 jokes a page if it's a sitcom, you know, consistent laughs. That is going to demand a studio audience. If you have more subtle comedy, or is it really important to create some sort of world with a sort of soundscape and so on, that's probably not going to work quite so well in front of an audience. Obviously, panel shows would be very odd without an audience. They'd be quite peculiar. Some sitcoms which have consistent laughs, quite big characters, and not too complicated backgrounds are fine. Some sketch shows, like, for example, Small Scenes on Radio 4 at the moment, doesn't have an audience. It's extremely funny, but it relies on a sort of naturalistic context. It'd be quite a different show if that was put in front of an audience. But then John Finnemore's Souvenir Programme, which is an award-winning sketch show, or The Pin, which is another sketch show, both really lend themselves to audience interaction. So it's a sort of delicate thing sometimes, but you need to know before you start writing it what you're aiming for, because they're quite different beasts in terms of audience expectation with hitting laughter, you know, if you do it in front of a live one.
I tend to agree. I mean, I veer more towards trying to do things in front of an audience because I think it's quite a good discipline for the writers. But there are occasions when you're creating a world which is much better done in a studio, where you've got far more control over the kind of different acoustics and sound effects and so on.
You mentioned commissioning briefs. Obviously, these are publicly available, so we can look them up online. Should writers be developing scripts with the commissioning brief in mind first, or should they be developing a script and then sending it and hoping that it matches a potential brief?
My briefs are really open, actually, my commissioning briefs. It's almost like 4 lines. We have a comedy strand. We're looking for blah, blah, perhaps not topical comedy because we've already got that covered. We'll take a look at sketch shows, sitcoms, whatever. Mine's really open. So you can kind of... I would rather have the idea. I would rather somebody was passionate about an idea and sent that in. And I then, if it's got something about it, I work out how to make it fit.
Yeah, and I think my perspective is, from my point of view, is it's the producer's job to interpret that, you know, brief, which is a little bit more prescriptive than Kerry's at Radio 4, because there's just so much comedy there. They want to try and avoid overlaps, and they're thinking about the rest of the network as well. I think the main thing is to not get too distracted by the commissioning briefs in radio, and instead seek to get a relationship with the producer. You know, so if you're an aspiring writer, you should be listening to a lot of the comedy already on Radio 4. Listen out for the credits at the end. So the shows that you like, make a note of the producer name. And sometimes if it's an indie, it'll say the indie name. If it's in-house, it'll say it's in-house. And then you can email them. Usually the BBC way is the first name dot surname at bbc.co.uk. I really, you know, listened to so-and-so, really enjoyed it. It's really my sense of humour. Would you be available to talk about an idea I've got? You know, so that's the journey you want to get onto, really. And then you get that relationship with the producer. And it might not be the right producer for you. You might want to try a few out, you know, and see if they really get you. And then you develop it together and you get lots of feedback and you shape it. And then it goes through an internal development process. It's quite a long journey before it gets in front of the commissioner. So I would, you know, not be cutting out the middleman. I'd be seeking that producer first, because they've got the relationship with the commissioner.